This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
We'll move directly now to Jed Kearney, who joins us on the line, the ACTU President. Jed, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. Now, you said that the Abbott government has sort of dropped the ball a bit on unemployment, and I think they've said that unemployment's gone down slightly, hasn't it?
Well, unemployment dropped very slightly, but it is still sitting at 6%. And why we're worried about that figure is it's the first time in over a decade that we have had unemployment at 6% or above for an entire year. And this is really worrying because it means that we might be moving into what they call entrenched unemployment, where people were unemployed for a long time, and it makes it really difficult for them to get back into the workforce once that happens.
And what factors do you think are driving this unemployment rate?
Well, I think unfortunately we're not seeing policies from the Abbott government that actually create jobs. They just seem to be sitting on their hands about this. We unfortunately have seen large cuts in skills training. I think nearly $1 billion was cut out of the skills and training sector, which doesn't help when people are out of work and need to get back into work and they need to retrain. We need a government that is prepared to invest in things that create jobs, like infrastructure, you know, like building, nation-building infrastructure projects that are good long-term jobs that give kids apprenticeships and that have good flow-on effects to the economy, because, you know, we would like to see local companies be able to supply goods, for example, to these such big projects. And unfortunately, we really need to, we've had a big cut to our public service, and we've seen a lot of public services disappear. But not only that, a lot of good public sector jobs, and an area like Geelong would know what sort of impact that would have on a community.
I mean, you talk about things like training there. I suppose that's one of the factors affecting people on the actual employee side trying to get the jobs. So with this unemployment, is the issue that there are jobs out there that people can't fill because of skills shortages, or is it that the jobs aren't there in the first place?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. We do know that there are many, many, many more people looking for jobs than there are actually jobs available. We know that a lot of people are underemployed because the jobs that they do have are casual jobs or insecure jobs or short-term contracts where there's peaks and troughs in employment. So that's a big problem about the quality of jobs. We also know that, unfortunately, due to the lack of investment in skills, many companies look overseas to bring in workers to fill those skill gaps rather than invest in our young people or our people that have a need to reskill. It's a very complicated process, and it doesn't seem to me that there's any overall plan to tackle these, well, what we think are becoming entrenched issues with the unemployment situation.
We talk about this a lot on the program, but I think that the way unemployment is measured can also be a bit misleading. You talked about underemployment there, but the fact that you can be considered employed if you work for just 1 hour a week, I think, is perhaps not a true reflection on what's really going on.
No, this is a very important point, and I think so many people would understand that. And when people say, oh, you know, you should be grateful you've got a job. Well, you know, there's no dignity in a job that doesn't pay the rent or doesn't give you enough money to put food on the table for your family. And we're hearing that from so many of our members out there, that the jobs they have just simply do not provide them a decent living. They are underemployed. And, you know, everybody would know that even if you have 1 hour, if you get 1 hour of work a week, that's not a decent job. So when we call for decent jobs, we need to know that they are jobs that are paid a decent wage, that give people some security in their lives, that they can deal with the peaks and troughs and emergencies. And this is not what we're seeing right now, and that's why we're worried about these unemployment figures.
How do you solve the issue of the casualisation of the workforce, though? I mean, if full-time positions aren't there, they're just not there, are they? Are employers sort of moving towards having more staff that are casuals rather than a few full-time people?
Look, this is a very serious trend that's developed in Australia over the last 20, maybe even 30 years, is that people are more and more being employed as casuals, short-term contracts, or they're being forced into being individual contractors when once they would have been employees. Mm. So all the risk of being an employee is being put on the shoulders of the workers who can least afford it. And yes, this is a big problem for us. And we are hoping that we can deal with this in a number of ways. The union movement is looking to start fighting for new things for people employed like this. For example, portable entitlements, where it doesn't matter how you're employed, you still accrue long service leave, sick leave and a holiday. These are the sorts of things that we're starting to fight for now that we think will just help people get by.
But a lot of it seems to come down to creating jobs in the private sector, doesn't it, and making sure that the jobs are actually there. So, I mean, it's one thing to sort of build new infrastructure, but aren't a lot of those government positions?
A lot of the spin-off, of course, goes to the private sector. So if a government, for example, decides to build a dam or to build, you know, a highway, then we know that a lot of the benefits from that project flow on to the private sector, because local manufacturers, local suppliers would actually get a lot of work from that, and the whole service industry, I mean, the flow on is enormous from that sort of thing. And it is a government's job to make sure that those sorts of projects actually flow on to the economy. What we need in the economy right now for the private sector is growth. And for the economy to grow, we need for people to have money in their pockets. And for people to have money in their pockets, they need a decent paying job. So we don't want a government that is intent on driving down wages, doing things like cutting penalty rates, driving down the minimum wage. These are not things that we want to see from a government or the private sector. We want to make sure that people have decent wages, that they can afford to actually spend that money in their communities.
Well, I saw a piece in The Age today just regarding penalty rates, and it was a bit of a case study of a person that said if penalty rates were removed, they would lose something like $400 a week in pay, and as a result, they wouldn't be able to make ends meet. They'd be just too strapped for cash. I mean, is that concerning when we look at the cost of living if people have to rely on penalty rates just to get by? Isn't that sort of meant to be the case where penalty rates are a bonus rather than something you have to rely on?
I wish, but unfortunately the situation is that the minimum wage, or the gap between the minimum wage and the average wage, is getting bigger and bigger. So we are seeing a growth in inequality in this country. We would love it that the minimum wage was much closer to the average wage. It just isn't the case. And so people rely on things like penalty rates, which are, of course, fair compensation for working unsociable hours. There are a lot of people that try to tell us there's no such thing as a weekend anymore, but everybody knows that's just rubbish, because, of course, the weekend is still very much valued in Australia, and you do miss out on valuable time with friends, family, etc. So, you know, penalty rates are fair compensation for that. But the article in The Age is, I think, very telling, is that people have come to rely on penalty rates, and if you take them away, then you're taking away wages. And that is money being taken out of the pockets of people who earn the least in this country and who, well, let's face it, who keep the economy afloat, because they don't save much. People on low wages spend everything they earn. And so the very small businesses that might be saying, you know, get rid of penalty rates, are the ones that would suffer, unfortunately.
Well, I was sort of looking around on a public holiday, as you do, and a lot of places closed, and we talk about needing to create more hours because of the casualisation of the workforce. I mean, is there some merit to say that can we sort of reduce the amount of penalty rates if a business would otherwise have to close, so that the hours are there for people to work? I mean, that's sort of one of the things I'm questioning.
Well, you know, I question that. I mean, just what percentage of businesses close on public holidays and weekends because of penalty rates? You know, business will open. I live in a suburb in Melbourne where every single cafe and every single restaurant and every single pub was open right through the Easter holidays, for example. It's the busiest time of the year for them, because people are out and about and spending money. So, you know, we really have to be very careful when we say why businesses are closed. It might be that people have gone away. There might be many reasons. The last thing those businesses need is for people to lose money, because they're the people that spend their money in those businesses. And this, to me, is just a no-brainer, and I can't understand why people would want to cut the income of the very people that spend their money in those businesses. It doesn't make sense. It would act as a reverse stimulus for the economy. We wouldn't see just businesses closed on the odd day. We would see them closed down altogether.
Well, thank you so much for coming on this morning. I really, really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Jed Kearney, the ACTU president, talking about the government's plan to tackle unemployment, or what they say is a lack thereof. And I think that you've really got to talk about these private sector jobs and how you create them and what are the bottlenecks, and looking at stimulating small businesses is probably a very good start. And of course, the penalty rates is a very interesting discussion. So I'm glad that we had the opportunity to come on and have a chat about that, because I just think looking at The Age today and that article about the person that said that without penalty rates, they wouldn't be able to make ends meet is concerning. I don't know if it says more about the cost of living or the fact that wages are just not keeping up with the costs. So if it's an issue with wages or an issue with costs, but I would have thought the penalty rates were, as was said, compensation for working some of those difficult hours and some sort of bonus, whereas this person relies on working those uncharitable hours just to get by. I think that's quite a concerning situation.